Log Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I would like to thank the founders of the Theta Network for giving me this opportunity to bring this show to the public, where we talk about Reiki and all things surrounding Reiki and everything that the founder of Reiki, Nikao Usui, would have taken an interest in. He was a very curious man and was interested in many, many things. His main interest was in learning all he could about the meaning of life and why we're here and how we could actually play a role in our own healing and taking care of ourselves. He was like the original self-help guy. It all starts from within. It all starts from you. And if you find a way to take care of yourself and enrich your life and better your life, and it's all doing this within you and from you and by yourself, you should be your main focus. Ask yourself, am I functioning at the optimum level that I can? Do I feel 100% healthy in my physical body, in my emotional body, in my mental body, in my spiritual body? Those are the four energy fields or the four bodies that comprise the human aura. And each one of those bodies is an energy, and your aura is an energy. You are an energy. So it stands to reason that it's important to take care of self. It all starts with self. Accept yourself. Love yourself. Forgive yourself. Treat yourself well. Be nice to yourself. Take care of yourself. It's not selfish to put yourself first. Even on an airplane, they'll say to you, in case of an emergency, the oxygen mask will drop down and you are first to put the mask on yourself. People who are traveling with children or the elderly or whatever, do not put the mask on them first. You put it on you first so that you are there to put it on the other person or to help the other person when and if they need your help. If you don't put your oxygen mask on first, then something could happen to you, thereby leaving the person or persons you are in charge of with no one, with no support, with no one to depend on. So we're trying these days to break the old taboo and the old thoughts of thinking of self is selfish and I should not do that. No, it's just the opposite. It depends on how you're thinking of self. If you're thinking of yourself and you're coming from a place of ego and greed, I want everything, I want it all, it's all me, me, me. No, that's not the positive way to think of self. But if you're thinking of self that I must take care of myself, I must take care of this vessel that holds my energy, that holds my aura, that holds my soul, and make it the best that I can so that I can then go on and help other people, then that's wonderful. And I must commend Pamela Miles on her self-Reiki campaign, because it's a wonderful thing. There are so many Reiki practitioners that once they become certified and they know how to do Reiki and they can do Reiki, and they run around looking for people to Reiki, you know, free Reiki, I'll give anybody Reiki who wants it, come on, come on, come on, get your Reiki. They're all practicing and doing Reiki on people, and you'll say to that person, do you do self-Reiki? Do you do Reiki every day? And a lot of them say no. I know with my students, when they take a level one class and then the next time they come back for level two, the first question I ask them is, are you doing self-Reiki? Are you doing self-treatment? And, you know, about a third of them will say, no. With that sheepish, you know, head down grin on their face, because they know they're doing, you know, wrong, that their teacher taught them, and it's a basic in Reiki that you do self-Reiki every day, because this is all about personal development, developing yourself, spiritual growth, personal growth. So you took the class, you took Reiki, you want to practice this beautiful, lovely healing modality, but you're not doing healing to yourself every day. So I'm really, really on board with the self-Reiki thing, and feel that we need to remind people of that. My name is Rosie Menes. I am the host of the show, and my Reiki practice is called Violet Rose Reiki. You can visit me on Facebook, Violet Rose Reiki. You can go to my website, which is violetrosereiki.com. You can follow me, find me on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can also find me on Pinterest. Oh, where else am I? I have a blog that's on WordPress.com. I'm also on Google Plus. You can just Google Violet Rose Reiki and you'll find me. Generally, I have a level one and a level two Reiki class every month. So if you missed a level one in June, there is a level one coming up actually in 2 days. On July 12th, I'll be holding a level one Reiki class. And then on July, I think around the 24th, we're having a level two. Actually, it's the 26th, the level two. I do teach Usui Shiki Ryoho Reiki. I am a Karuna Reiki master, and I am a Komyo Reiki Kai Shihan. And I also am an Atlantean Reiki master. So there are different methods of Reiki that I practice and teach. If you'd like to email me, if you have any Reiki questions, feel free to email me at rose@violetrosereiki.com. And I'd also like to inform you that there is a page I have developed, and it is on Facebook. We're coming around to being almost 3 years old. It is called Reiki Ward. Reiki Ward is a place, it's a page, a Facebook page, where you can post a healing request for yourself or for a friend or a family member. does not necessarily have to be a human. You can place a healing request for an animal, and we will send Reiki. The requests go up on the board. We repost your request onto the wall. And there has to be easy 200 Reiki practitioners plus who are so generous and giving of their time that they also send Reiki healing. We're like a Reiki network. And you will get as much Reiki as you can handle. It's a beautiful thing. We've had a lot of success. We have had much healing done. Many requests have been fulfilled and answered. Grant, there are times where, you know, we can't work miracles. We're not God. And in those instances, there is an upside, because if the person is so ill that transition is imminent, the one thing that all of us at Reiki Ward are very happy about, in a way, or glad about, is that we know that with the amount of Reiki we've sent to these people in their times of, you know, illness, that when the transition did come, that they transitioned with much more peace. They transitioned without fear. They transitioned in a state of acceptance rather than rejection. And that makes the whole process that much more peaceful and joyful, actually, for them, instead of a fighting, kicking, and screaming, I'm not going, you'll have to drag me by the heels kind of transition, which in the past, you know, that was always a scary, scary, painful thing. And the Reiki does help so much. So even though we can't, you know, save a life, but there have been people who have questioned Reiki, saying, well, if Reiki's so wonderful, then how come so-and-so died? Well, as I said, you know, we are not God. We don't control the universe. We only do what we can do. And if we can't help get rid of the dis-ease that the person has, at least the transition goes so much better. So Reiki Ward is on Facebook. You can just do a search, Reiki Ward. You'll find the page. And by all means, put your requests for healing on the board, and we will get to it immediately. And if you post late at night, sometimes I know people get frustrated, but if a post comes in around or after midnight, we'll get to it the next day, because we're checking the board. And sometimes, you know, everybody's asleep by 10 or asleep by midnight, our request comes in and we don't see it until the next morning, but we will get to it. You know, we get to you as soon as we possibly can. And once the request is in, we start sending Reiki. Your request goes onto our crystal healing grid, and the grid is so that there is 24-hour Reiki energy going toward your request and going to the person who we have on that request. And you can also check out our grid. It's on the Facebook page. We change the center crystal every so often, and it's a beautiful thing. So without further ado, going to get to tonight's subject matter, and that is gradual acceptance of Reiki therapy in mainstream medicine. Reiki masters and healing facilitators are always trying to explain a scientific basis for Reiki, its heightened effectiveness on physical, psychological, and emotional levels. Also, at the same time, there are an increasing number of studies being conducted by scientists and researchers, and their research has proved time and again that Reiki does work on all levels. Another important thing about Reiki is that it has a place in alternative medicine from the time it is introduced. And now this therapy is gaining an exponential momentum in mainstream medicine. Also, at all levels, namely physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. In the early 1980s, Dr. John Zimmerman began a series of important studies on therapeutic touch using a squid magnetometer, and that is something that measures the energy levels. I did have a definition. And this squid, for short, I'll get to the actual name for it once I find it, it confirms the heart measurements and the biomagnetic fields. And Zimmerman discovered that a huge pulsating biomagnetic field emanated from the hands of a therapeutic touch practitioner. Confirmation of his findings came in 1992, and that's 12 years later, when Seto and colleagues in Japan studied practitioners of various martial arts and other healing methods. The key emission from the hands is so strong that they can be detected with a simple magnetometer consisting of two coils of 80,000 turns of wire. Since then, a number of studies of Qigong practitioners have extended these investigations to sound, light, and thermal fields emitted by healers. It is not widely understood that brain waves are not confined to the brain, actually spread throughout the body via the perineural system. The connective tissue sheaths surrounding all of the nerves. Dr. Robert O. Becker has described how this system, more than any other, regulates injury repair processes throughout the body. Hence, the entire nervous system acts as an antenna for projecting the biomagnetic pulsations that begin in the brain, specifically in the thalamus. Now, let's see, check my chat room. Okay, here is a brief article from the Center for Reiki Training, the International Center for Reiki Training. They did a study on science measuring the human energy field. Energy is a theme that permeates many areas of complementary health care, including Reiki. For historic and emotional reasons, two words have not been mentionable in polite academic research, energy being one and touch is the other. Hence, it is not surprising that Reiki therapy has been neglected by mainstream biomedical science. The picture is changing rapidly because of exciting research from around the world. The tale of how concepts of healing energy have swung from suspicion and ridicule of respectability to respectability is one of the most fascinating and clinically significant stories that can be told. As in many other areas of investigation, what we were absolutely certain about 20 years ago has changed dramatically. For example, in a few decades, scientists have gone from conviction that there is no such thing as an energy field and around the human body to an absolute certainty that it does, in fact, exist. Moreover, we have gone to understand the roles of energy fields in health and disease. Most people are simply not aware of this research and persist in the attitude that there is no logical basis for energy healing. The main reason for the change in outlook is that sensitive instruments have been developed that can detect the minute energy fields around the body. as I said before, one of particular importance is the squid magnetometer, which is capable of detecting tiny biomagnetic fields associated with physiological activities in the body. This is the same field that sensitive individuals have been describing for thousands of years, but that scientists have ignored because there is no objective way to measure it. For the most part, key discoveries are not being made by scientists studying such methods as Reiki, therapeutic touch, etc. Instead, traditional scientists follow customary logic, and scientific methods have begun to clarify the roles of, let's see, where was I? Sorry about that. The roles of various kinds of energy in the healing process. Hence, the picture that is emerging has some scientific foundation and that underlying modern clinical medicine. In the human energy field, it has long been known that activities of cells and tissues generate electrical fields that can be detected on the skin surface. But the laws of physics demand that any electrical current generates a corresponding magnetic field in the surrounding space. Since these fields were too tiny to detect, biologists assumed they could have no physiological significance. This picture began to change in 1963. Gerhard Bell and Richard McPhee of the Department of Electrical Engineering in Syracuse, New York, detected the biomagnetic field projected from the human heart. They used two coils, each with 2 million turns of wire connected to a sensitive amplifier. Subsequently, it has been discovered that all tissues and organs produce specific magnetic pulsations, which have come to be known as biomagnetic fields. The traditional electrical recordings are now being complemented by biomagnetic recordings. For various reasons, mapping the magnetic fields in the space around the body often provides a more accurate indication of physiology and pathology than traditional electrical measurements. Now, the pathology alters the biomagnetic field. In the 20s and 30s, a distinguished researcher at Yale University School of Medicine, Harold Saxon Burr, suggested that diseases could be detected in the energy field of the body before physical symptoms appear. Moreover, Burr was convinced that diseases could be prevented by altering the energy field. These concepts were ahead of their time. Again, sensitive individuals have been describing these phenomena for a long time, but there was no logical explanation of how it could happen. Projection of energy from the hands of healers. Again, in the 1980s, Dr. Zimmerman began studies on this. And, of course, Reiki practitioners and their clients have daily experiences of healing processes being jump-started. And academic medicine is now beginning to accept this therapy as logical and beneficial because of the new scientific findings. Okay, I'm going to take a brief break here and we will be back with more. Okay, we're back. Oh, evenings like this, I wish I had a co-host. Okay, but getting back to Reiki. After decades of often disputed validity, the effectiveness of Reiki, a holistic energy treatment, is gaining new respect with the medical community. Not only are highly reputable medical facilities throughout the U.S. offering patients alternative healing programs, such as Reiki, those facilities are analyzing the benefits of their programs and submitting them for review and compilation. The results of these Reiki research studies are nothing short of remarkable. And just briefly, a brief explanation of Reiki. It is an energy healing treatment that works holistically on the whole body, mind, and spirit, not a system of religious beliefs. Reiki is simply a relaxing treatment where as natural healing vibrations are transmitted through the hands of the Reiki practitioner, who acts as a conduit to the body of the recipient. The purpose of a Reiki treatment is to relieve stress and pain, inducing relaxation, release, and this accelerates natural healing by releasing and removing emotional blockages, balancing subtle bodies, energies, and supports other medical modalities, including traditional therapies. The International Center for Reiki Training has estimated that there are 4 million people throughout the world who have taken at least one level of Reiki training. There are 3 additional levels of expertise. Today, Reiki education is offered free of charge in more than 800 American hospitals. Why Reiki has been discounted for years, along with other methods of holistic therapies, were looked upon with disdain, even contempt for medical associations, practitioners, mainstream scientists, and clerics. The idea that the human body was permeated or surrounded by an invisible etheric body of life force energy was considered to be no less than nonsense. The negative conclusions were formulated on the premise that life energy fields such as those accepted in China as qi or ki, in Japan as ki, in India as prana, were unseen and therefore immeasurable. But now that's changing. Reiki clinical studies and improved reporting. There's never been a comprehensive list of controlled, evidence-based research that was accessible to the holistic medical and scientific communities. It wasn't until 2005 when William Lee Rand, founder and president of the International Center for Reiki Training, formed the Center for Reiki Research and developed what is now known as the Touchstone Process. The Touchstone Process is actually a peer-review method for analyzing the current state of scientific studies done on Reiki programs, clinics, and hospice facilities throughout the United States. The process is a critique is rigorous, impartial, and consistent, and incorporates the best practices for scientific review. William Lee Rand began formulating this process after developing the Reiki in Hospitals website. The most recent data analyzed during 2008 to 2009 shows strong evidence that Reiki is indeed responsible for a positive biological response in both humans and animals. And I'm going to add here also, you can consider plants in there too, because I have seen plants respond very well to Reiki. The strongest evidence was reported in the most carefully controlled of experiments. Testing humans performed between 1993 and 2006 showed ratings from satisfactory to excellent, all suggesting that the benefit of Reiki treatments were positive in controlling pain levels in humans. There were some confounding variables, which is typical in hospital as opposed to laboratory studies. However, the placebo Reiki treatments in this experiment were, by contrast, ineffective in controlling pain. Now, that's the placebos. New York Presbyterian Hospital, Columbia University campus, conducted one of the first studies ever performed to determine the effectiveness of Reiki treatments on the autonomic nervous system. This blind random study included a Reiki treatment group, a sham treatment group, and a controlled group. The testing began with all participants as baseline autonomic nervous system levels. The results within the Reiki treatment group showed a lowering of these levels, including heart rate, respiration, and blood pressure. These positive results led the team to recommend further larger studies to look at the biological effects of the Reiki treatment. It's interesting to note that Columbia Presbyterian was one of the first hospitals to offer Reiki as part of their integrative medicine program. The now famous cardiovascular surgeon, Dr. Mehmet Oz, brought tremendous attention to Reiki when he invited practitioners to treat patients during open heart surgeries and heart transplant operations. Dr. Oz was quoted as saying, "Reiki has become a sought-after healing art among patients and mainstream medical professionals." And I'm going to note that here, 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago, there was the New York City Reiki conference in Manhattan, and we were honored to have Dr. Sheldon Mark Feldman. He's the chief breast surgery doctor at Columbia, and healers in the operating room where Dr. Sheldon works. Well, he had one of his patients come with him, and they have the breast program, and this surgery breast program welcomes alternative practitioners before and during surgery. So again, this is over at Columbia, and you know, that's not a tiny hospital, and they are embracing Reiki and have people doing Reiki. And there are doctors like Dr. Feldman, Dr. Oz, who are embracing Reiki as a therapy, as a treatment, which is a wonderful thing. Words of wisdom from an internationally recognized Reiki practitioner and author who had been published in peer-reviewed medical journals. Reiki passes with flying colors. There have been many other controlled studies limited to peer journals. And ailments and disorders that tested favorably to Reiki treatment include post-operative pain after tooth extraction, cognition in elderly related to dementia and Alzheimer's, pre-operative relaxation and post-op pain, pain in chronically ill patients, depression and stress, well-being in Reiki practitioners. As of 2009, the Touchstone process had evaluated 25 test studies that appeared in peer-reviewed journals evaluating the merits of Reiki treatments. Taking into consideration only the most rigorously controlled studies, the team reported that 83% showed moderate to strong evidence in support of Reiki as a viable therapeutic healing modality. One study proved solidly that, and that was for the treatment of fibromyalgia-associated pain. This proved, as the case with conventional drug treatments, that not all therapies proved to be effective for fibromyalgia. President and CEO Richard Odenstock stated, complementary and alternative medicine has shown great promise in supporting and stimulating healing. It's one of the many tools hospitals look to as they continue to create optimal healing environments for the patients they serve. According to a 2008 AHA survey, 84% of hospitals indicated patient demand as the primary rationale in offering complementary and alternative medicine, otherwise known as DAM. Services including Reiki, and 67% of those surveyed stated clinical effectiveness as their top reason. 65 of those hospitals are listed on the Center for Reiki Research's website, including Duke Integrative Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. As I said earlier, New York Presbyterian Hospital, Columbia University Medical Center campus in New York City, New York. Yale, New Haven Hospital, New Haven, Connecticut. Sharp Memorial Inpatient Care Support Services Hospital, San Diego, California. Children's Hospital in Boston, Boston, Massachusetts. Citrus Valley Medical Center Research Center in Covina, California. In addition, the American Medical Association has added complementary and alternative medicine, again, CAMS, DAM, treatments to their directory of billable procedures. Okay, now, in conclusion, a spokesperson from Columbia Integrative Medicine Program at the New York Presbyterian Hospital perhaps expresses it best saying, I find the practice of Reiki very rewarding as a practitioner. Patients have reported deep relaxation and a sense of profound healing. After one session, I feel that Reiki is a huge asset for any hospital setting, because patients sense that they are in a truly caring environment. As Reiki continues to become a huge asset for the hospital setting, analytical reporting such as the Touchstone process continues to add to the much-needed pool of evidence that Reiki is indeed a worthy, effective method for facilitating the healing process. And now, let's see, we're about halfway through. If you have any questions, the number here in studio is 347-677-0699. And call in. I'd love to speak with you and help you out and answer your questions. What I'm going to do now is, for the next 5 minutes or so, those of you who are listening, I'd like you to get in a comfortable spot, sit down or lie down, wherever you are, and just relax. Take a couple of deep inhaling breaths and exhaling breaths. And as the following music plays, I will be sending you all who are listening distance Reiki healing. So get comfy, enjoy the music, and enjoy the Reiki. Okay, and we're back. If you're traveling outside your body, you're going deep into a deep state of relaxation. Please come back and join me for the last quarter of Violet Reiki Radio. I hope you enjoyed the experience and the distant Reiki. The next thing I'd like to discuss is my dear friend and birthday twin, Lorinda Weatherall. She is the founder of Integrative Healthcare with Reiki, and she is a Reiki master teacher who practices in Barrie, Ontario. And Lorinda has written a book speaking about integrating and getting Reiki in mainstream. Lorinda has written a book, which you can find on Amazon.com, called Integrative Healing, Merging with Modern Medicine. And as she says in her book, what is energy medicine? Energy medicine is the name given to a group of healing therapies, i.e. modalities, which use or interact with the subtle energies of the body or the biofield. These are acupuncture, esoteric healing, homeopathy, polarity balancing, pranic healing, qigong, Reiki, and therapeutic touch, just to name a few. For example, when we rub the anterior surface, the palms of our hands together, in most cases, they get warm. If you were to open your hands 4 or 5 inches apart, you might feel some resistance, almost as if there was an invisible ball in between your palms. That is subtle energy or the subtle energy field. If anyone has taken Qigong, what they tell you when you start out is rub your hands together. And then they say, pull them apart slowly, little by little, and feel the ball. You can feel a small ball in there. And then what you do is you keep pulling on this ball. And as you pull your palms, your hands apart from each other, you will begin to feel this energy. And it starts to feel as though you're stretching out gum or you're stretching out glue, or that there's a traction between the hands, between the palms. There's definitely energy between them. And then in Qigong class, they have us making balls and doing things so people learn to work with the energy. Yeah, this is the subtle energy field. Now, if you take one of your palms and slowly move it over the opposite arm, did you feel anything? Was there a warmth? Do the hairs like stand up? This is also subtle energy. Your biofield. Each human on the planet has it. However, if you were to question each person, would they be aware of it? Or would we even call it the same thing? The human body has a subtle energy system that interpenetrates the physical anatomy and extends outward beyond it. Disease or disorder can be detected in the energy system, perhaps before it manifests in the physical body, and can be affected therapeutically by the action or energy practitioners in support of the self-healing capacity of the body. See, in Eastern culture, they are trained to take care of the body, prevent disease, prevent an illness that's going to happen by taking care of your biomagnetic field. Here in the West, we wait until it's, whatever is going on and the disease has blocked us up and invaded our bodies so badly that, the doctor will give me a pill and then I'll be okay. But wouldn't you want to prevent something before it happens? rather than have it happen. It's like if you're driving in a car, do you drive recklessly so you hit another car? No, you take precautions. You're careful. You watch yourself. You do whatever you have to do not to have an accident. So it's the Eastern Western versus, you know, philosophy. Eastern takes preventative precaution, whereas Western is like, oh, well, whatever, whatever. There's a pill. There's a surgery. They can do something and, you know, take care of my body that way. So now the electromagnetic energy interacts with subtle energies in the connective tissue. An experiment was done to test the concept of an energy exchange between a practitioner and client. The experimenters were able to prove by the use of an electrocardiogram on one person and an electroencephalogram on the other that there is indeed transferences of energy from one to the other. It was also noted that on occasion a client would send energy to the practitioner. William Tiller has done his own research monitoring subtle energies from a healer and discovered some very interesting information. The information receivers, i.e. clairvoyants, psychics, and for ordinary subjects, no such pulses were observed. Instead of the usual 10 to 15 millivolt baseline, earlobe voltage often plunged minus 30 to minus 300 volts and then recovered to source of love, emotions, and focus of personality traits. To gain insight into the problem of whether transplant patients themselves feel a change in personality after receiving an organ. Clearly, this is only the tip of the iceberg regarding the ability of connective tissue or even muscle tissue being capable of storing memory. I have a friend of mine who received on his second, soon to have third hip replacements, and he said they told him in the hospital that, you know, when they replaced his hip, the bone that made up the new hip was a compilation of 22 cadavers. So now here he is, he's psychic, always has been, and now I've got like 22 different people talking to me because I have their bones implanted in me. So definitely, and as we say, energy cannot and never does die. So when you're thinking of someone who has passed on, well, the vessel that carries the body, the physical body, yes, that has passed on. However, the person, the soul, the essence, the energy, the aura, the electromagnetics of that person, Aunt Mary, Uncle Johnny, or whatever, never really dies because that energy is still here in the universe. So it's a lovely consolation to know that we are all energy and we really are, if you'd like to say, immortal, because we never die. We change, we morph, the energy, you know, shifts and is manipulated, but it never, ever dies. I hope that this has helped you guys understand a little bit more about Reiki and how it is getting more and more mainstream. There are many, many examples of cases of cancer remission that have taken place with Reiki. We now know that we We have a set of logical, testable, and refutable hypotheses that account for the effects of various energy therapies, that there has been much success with Reiki, that doctors like Dr. Zimmerman, Dr. Oz, Dr. Feldman, doing all of these tests and using Reiki and researching it, Reiki is coming much more to the forefront as far as healing. There are some unnoticed and ignored benefits of Reiki therapy. One is that individualization of treatment, which means to treat a person and not a disease or disorder. A Reiki treatment treats the patient on all levels, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Reiki therapy has no contradictions as far as to any other treatments. As a matter of fact, it works very well with other modalities, in conjunction with other modalities. There are no restrictions on food intake. There are no harmful side effects from Reiki. Reiki is gaining its place in colleges and in alternative medicine. So I do encourage you all to check out Reiki. I know a lot of people have come to Reiki because they were at their wit's end with pain. Many of us have come to Reiki in that way. I came to Reiki because of horrific lower back pain, couldn't move, couldn't do anything, had gone to doctors, had gone to chiropractors. And it wasn't until I found Reiki that I had no more issues with lower back pain. It's a wonderful, miraculous, amazing therapy that's helped many and is going to go on to help many. And I can't say enough about it, which is why I teach Reiki. Not only do I love it and embrace it for myself, but I was so convinced and I was so amazed by this wonderful therapy that I had to spread the word. I have to tell the world about how wonderful it is because it works on so many levels. It's not just healing the body. It's not just healing the emotions and the spiritual. It's awakening. As you practice Reiki, you find that you're awakening and that your consciousness is growing and you're living a better life and there's much more self-awareness. And the preventative healing aspects. There's so much Reiki has to give. I couldn't tell you enough how wonderful this is. So check out Reiki, have a treatment, take a class, do whatever. I'm available at www.violetrosereiki.com. If you have any questions, I love telling people about Reiki and answering their questions. Feel free to call me or send me an email. Email is rose@violetrosereiki.com. You can get me on Facebook, on Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, wherever. And I'm hoping that I can help you on your Reiki journey. Have a lovely evening, people. Thank you so much for listening, and I wish you a lovely, wonderful weekend. Next week, my guest is going to be Andrew Brewer. Andrew is a psychic. He's a wonderful psychic, among many other things. And I'm sorry, but last week we didn't get to have Roy Maloof on because I had a power outage here at the studio, but we are going to have Leroy on again August 14th. And if you guys missed my appearance on the show, What's Your Sign? I have your number. There's a link on my Facebook page, Violet Rose Reiki, and you can listen to the archived version of me as a guest on that show with Shavita Starr and Anthony Pico. And even if you don't make it to listen to my link for an archive show, listen to that show anyway. It's a great show. They're great people, very knowledgeable. What's Your Sign? I have your number on TMZ Radio. Looking forward to seeing you all again next week. Have a lovely weekend. I wish you all love, light, and healing.